Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Amen. I want us to briefly read from Psalm 145. And I'm just going to mention a couple of things. I was so blessed by a message from John Piper. And I'll give credit to him. But I thought what he shared was really very significant for us. And I'll just pick out one or two things that he mentioned that really blessed me. Psalm 145 was for one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Speaking of the passing on from one generation to another, but and I want to just start off by saying that we've been through a bit of a rough season. My family and I, many of you know that my dad was very ill and he passed away about a month ago, actually exactly a month ago today. And I want to just really thank you, everybody that was brought us food, and I really thank you for your support. It's times like this that you really just appreciate family, right? And I want to just honor this church family for looking after us so well. And I want to really thank each person that prayed for us and that helped out and that helped with the children or that brought food or just sent a message. We really appreciate you. And I want to really thank you for that. It's really precious. Part of a season like this is the reality that we realize how fragile life is, right? So it's really, one appreciates relationships a lot. And one of the things that I've been doing, yesterday I spent some time at on the plot where I grew up, and I spent some time going through some of my dad's things and starting to sort things out. And obviously there's some amazing memories, and there's some emotional memories, and there's some some of the things that you see bring back, fun memories, and there's some weird stuff there that I didn't really know my dad had from his dad, and really cool stuff. But one thing that I realized that as I was going through these things is that although some of them are interesting and some of them are cool and some of them I'm going to keep, I realized that the bulk, and most by far, like the most that got my father left for us is not tangible. Can't put a value to it. Can't sell it on eBay or on OLX or whatever, on Gumtree. There's no most that, by far the most that my father, through the grace of God, has imparted to us and left with us was not tangible. And I was really so challenged again by the reality of the society we live in that is running after stuff and running after leaving stuff behind, which is a great blessing. Obviously, it's a blessing to inherit things, but how much more important and how much more blessed is what we leave, what we impart to our children? I was so challenged this past week. We had a pastor's fraternal, and there was a speaker that he testified from his own family, and he said that his father was a fitter and turner in a factory environment, and I think he said 42 years. His father was in the same position. But what had happened is that every couple of months, or even every year or so, he would be approached by the management and said, "We want to offer you a management position, and we want to offer you this promotion." And then he would ask, he said, "What would the time implications be?" And they said, "Yes, there will be meetings, there will be management meetings, there's going to be extra hours." And then he would very graciously decline. Because he was at home every afternoon at 4:30. He had made a quality decision. He had made a decision come from a conviction that he felt that his time at home was of utmost importance. it's time to invest into his children's lives. And he testified that his father did that for 42 years, his whole working life. He made a decision. And he says some people would say that he was maybe not a good leader, maybe he wasn't keen on, you know, management. But he said his father led his family incredibly well. And that was his main drive and his main his motive behind all of that. And what he was saying, what really challenged me, he said, you know what, we change jobs and we change careers sometimes, even we move around. But you know what, if you move companies now, in 20 years' time, the company we're at now will probably not even remember you. Maybe, you know, if your face is on the wall like here, on somewhere in the company, maybe somebody will say, who's this guy again? But my question to us this morning is, what will our children remember of us in 20 years' time? You know, at the memorial service for my dad, we were able to say about many things about what a father he was to us and the blessing that he was. But, and it's inevitable that one thinks, what will somebody say at my memorial service or whatever one day? And I want to just put that out to us, and I want to just say, you know, how deliberate are we around this? How deliberate are we in how we make our decisions and how we make choices to say, this impartation and legacy that I leave to my children is so much more important than so much else that society is running after. Are you with me this morning? So I want to just point out a couple of key points very briefly that I want to ask this to start with. What will be said about us? And what will our children remember of us in 20 odd years' time, or late, or 30 years or 40 years? Wow. No, we are so deliberate about so many things. You know, I was chatting about this with one of our colleagues this week, that in America, or in Canada, apparently the parents plan the time of the birth of the child as much as possible, because the boy needs to be born a certain time of the year, which will give him the best chance in his ice hockey career. Right? Yes, we think ahead, we plan ahead, right? So I've heard, you know, some theory says that he must be early, must be one of the oldest kids in his class, that he can learn a winning culture from very small. Some other thoughts of, you know, some other thoughts are towards he must be born in this right time of the year, that he can play that extra season of the college kind of stage, so that he can be better and faster and stronger and be noticed. But the point is, we do crazy things. And we are very deliberate about stuff like that. But how deliberate are we about our spiritual impartation and our discipleship of our children? How deliberate are we about that? All right, let's have a look at... Actually, I've thrown that slide up there again, but we did watch the video now, so I'm just going to go on. Let's look at Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise. So both parents there, honor your father and mother. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Guys, in this, I specifically wanted to share this because in the society we live in, did you know that schools haven't been existing for that long? If you think about it. But after the last couple of, 100 odd years, we've been delegating schooling and education and more to institutions. To a point now where there's a tendency for people to be very uninvolved in their children's education and upbringing. But here is a very strong encouragement from Scripture to say, firstly, yes, obviously, children must honor their parents, but fathers, And I want to specifically say fathers, because mothers tend to be involved, but how are we as fathers taking hold of this responsibility that says here, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And I say, dads, and I'm including myself in this, we cannot delegate this authority and this responsibility. In partnership with us, with the moms, this is our responsibility. And we will stand before Christ one day. Amen? It's a bit of a scary thought, but we will stand before Him. And He's going to say, guys, I don't want to hear about the tutor that you appointed. I don't want to hear about the nanny. I want to hear about the fathers, and I want to hear about the moms. Amen? Let's go on. Okay, I have to really hurry now. Let's look at a few key points. Firstly, it's our responsibility to educate our children. Deuteronomy 6. That you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson. All right? There's the generations. All the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today, you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise up. A lifestyle of imparting to our children. And what John Piper mentioned, which really challenged me, is he said, it cannot just be a transfer of information. If I sit every evening diligently and I read scripture to my children, I tell them, guys, this is how things must go, and I give them a list of to-dos, they're only going to listen for so long. Children don't really listen so much to what they say. They do what you do, right? We tend to say, don't do what I do, do what I say. Have you said that to your children? But they work the other way around. Children, they do what we do. And if we are joyful in our serving Christ, if we are praising God from one generation to another, have you noticed that first scripture we read? It doesn't say necessarily teach, but it says praising God from one generation to another. If our impartation to our children is not filled with praise and worship of God, they're going to recognize this is just something we're doing to tick a box. We're just doing this to make sure, yes, we've read the Bible together today. They can recognize that stuff. So what happens then is just the dry, dead transfer of information. But if this is something that is alive in us, if this is something that we are excited about, that we are passionate about, I see this family, one of my friends from Res and Varsity, whenever I see the stuff on social media from them, it's them doing some sport together. It's crazy. They're rowing, and the kids are this high. Well, they differ. They're like four of them, right? So they're rowing with their dad, and they're running, and they're doing duathlons, and the kids are like, I'm like, yes, my child can barely walk at that age, and this one is already doing a duathlon or something, excuse me, with their dad, and so passionate that are they about their outdoor life and their sport, and their family is living it. And I was thinking, wow, wouldn't that, are we doing the same with our faith? Is it real? Is it? Are we passionate? Are we living it out? Okay, let's skip the next one. The next slide, I want to go on to the second one. Secondly, the church is a partner with the parents in educating the children. Okay, so firstly the church, and then maybe this local school, all right? In Deuteronomy 31, it says, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord in the place where He chooses, you shall read the law before all Israel in the hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of the law. Let's keep it there, up to there. So, it is a dynamic of when we come together that is just as important for our discipleship of our children. So, number one, we as parents, as our first responsibility is to educate our children. Number two, the church is our partner as we educate our children. And number three, the church helps to equip us as parents to educate our children. All right, so in terms of partnering, That happens in children's church. It happens in small group. We want to actually, I've had on my heart for a while that we should use our family small groups and to make sure that we are equipping ourselves and each other to be better parents, to be able to disciple our children. All right. So I'm going to be asking for the parents. I'm going to be asking for your input. I'm asking for your suggestions on that. All right. So there's a partnership, and I want to encourage you. If you're not serving in any other capacity on a Sunday morning, as a parent, take some time. Take maybe 1 week a month to volunteer at Children's Church. The times that I have been involved in Children's Church have been really challenging for me because it's not my natural thing, but have been such a blessing, honestly. So I want to really encourage you with that. And then, thirdly, I said the church helps equip us parents to educate our children. Deuteronomy 4 verse 9 says, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, things that you've learned, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." So as we continue our discipleship journey, as we continue to press into God, as we continue to grow in our relationship with God, he says, yeah, don't do this diligently, lest we forget, and would not only do that, but teach them to your children and your grandchildren. So we have this responsibility to keep educating ourselves, that we would keep growing ourselves, that we would keep being, you know, positioning ourselves as parents to be discipled, whether that means Bible school or whatever else, that we are able to impart to our children. And are you with me this morning? At least three. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, we've got an evergreen parenting course that's coming up beginning of next year. And we are going to have two opportunities. Now, this, if you haven't heard of the evergreen parenting, it's something that's really been a massive blessing to Anna and myself and to many parents in church. So if you haven't heard of it, ask somebody that has in church. It's really a great blessing, Bible-based, anointed, and really, really good. So we're going to have two opportunities. One is going to be over a period of 6 weeks on Thursday evenings. And then we're going to do the same course squashed together into two Saturdays. Right? So I don't have them on the screen, but the dates are the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd of February, and the 1st, the 8th, and the 15th of March. Right? So those Thursday evenings in March, most of the Thursday evenings in February and March. And then also the 17th of February and the 3rd of March. So that will be a different opportunity. That'll be two whole Saturdays. It's going to be a long day. But for those that aren't able to do the evenings, that will be an opportunity. So we're going to throw the registrations open early next year. And if we see there's one guy for the Saturday, obviously, then we might reconsider. But we want to make it possible for as many as possible to be able to join. Okay, so make a mental note of those dates. They are on the should be on the calendar. I haven't checked, but they should be. By the way, we've put a lot of dates on the calendar for next year. So please have a look at our Google Calendar for your planning. And I want to really encourage you, even not just for yourself, but invite a friend, invite somebody from school. This is a wonderful opportunity to engage with the community. Amen. All right, let's stand this morning. We're going to pray. And then we're going to we're going to spend some time with some of the children that are really excited about being baptized. Some are not so excited. Abigail is excited about the concept of baptism, but she's not so excited about the crowd of people. So we'll see how that goes. It's really exciting. And if you're here this morning and you have been looking forward to an opportunity to be baptized, there's no reason why you can't be baptized as well. So please join us down there. So finally, before we pray, the scripture speaks of children being, you know, blessed is the man who has a quiver full of them. Comparing children to arrows in a quiver. Now, I've done some archery when I was younger, and the thing is with an arrow, is it needs to be the right shape. And it needs to have some important attributes for it to do its job, right? And I used to, when I was a boy, I used to build arrows myself and bows and things. And it takes a lot of time. It takes care and time. And if it's not right, it doesn't fly straight. Crooked arrows don't go straight. Let me just take it from you guys. I've tried it. Such a powerful picture that Scripture gives us, because how are you and I shaping our arrows? And how are you and I, what is an arrow made for except to be launched with intent at a specific target? Praise God that we can have quivers full of them, but are they straight? Have we shaped them by the grace of God and with the help of the church and our community? Have we made and shaped straight arrows that we can launch into their destiny in Christ? Guys, my passionate prayer is for my children to go from where my ceiling is, as far as I could have gone spiritually and physically. May that be their floor. Amen? That they would stand on our shoulders and advance the kingdom in this nation further than we could ever have done. Advance the kingdom in the nations. But how are we preparing them for that? How are we shaping our arrows? Let's pray this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we look at your word, Father, and we are challenged because your word is different, Lord. Your kingdom is different from the system that we are living in, Lord. And this morning we declare and we ask for grace, Lord, that we would have a change of heart, that we would not run in the way that the world does, Lord, to delegate everything to do with our children, but, Lord, that we would, on our knees before you, in dependence of you, Lord, in dependence of your Spirit, complete dependence, Lord, that we would say, Lord, we in fear and trembling take a hold of this great responsibility, but also this great privilege to be blessed with a quiver full, to be blessed with children. When we ask this morning for grace, Lord, that we would disciple them in the way that pleases you, God, in the way that brings glory to your name, in the way that's not artificial or forced or dead religion, but in the way that imparts life and grace and living water. Jesus' name. The word says that rivers of living water will flow from our innermost being, and we pray, Lord, that this will be the case in our interaction with our children, that rivers of living water will flow from our innermost being. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would anoint us afresh this morning in the name of Jesus with the power of your resurrection to lead our families, Lord, to disciple our children for the glory of your name. And this morning, if you know Holy Spirit has been talking to you, you've been convicted, and you need to respond to the word, then please do that. I want to encourage you to come to the front, and I'd love to pray with you. This morning, if you don't come to the front, I want to really encourage you to take time out to get into God's face and into His presence, and to say, Lord, show me how to do this. Because let's be honest, guys, a lot of us haven't had great examples. How much more reason for us to come to something like Evergreen? How much more reason for us to get involved in Children's Church? To engage with the help the community can give us, the church can give us. Amen? And I'm trusting for the Lord to shift something in our hearts. And I'm excited about the next generation. Amen? We sang that song. So powerful. Next generation rising up. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us pretoria@shofaronline.org. Browse our website, www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.